America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is a Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning. My name is Matt Pauly. No Tom Ackerman this morning. He'll be back coming up next week. If your Sunday routine involves sports on a Sunday morning into Cardinals baseball, well, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer today because the Cardinals, they play Sunday night baseball. They wrap up the series against the Cubs tonight, and that's going to be a 6:10 first pitch. Our coverage will get underway at 5:15. Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol joined us last hour. He shared with us that Michael Ciani, after suffering an oblique injury yesterday, is likely headed to the injured list.
It looks like it's something that's going to sideline him for a little bit. It's definitely an oblique, and we know how those go. It could be several weeks before we see him back.
In terms of players who are currently active on the roster, Lars Nootbaar is the guy who is likely to get the most time in center field.
It's something we'll have to look at, and that's someone where, I mean, whenever we hit for Ciani, whatever the case may be, he's the one that goes out there and is most familiar with center field. So, yeah, that could be the case.
Tommy Pham's played a little bit out there. Feels like you can put Brendan Donovan anywhere on the field, and he's not going to embarrass himself. Are there other guys on the team that you would feel comfortable in center field?
Newt is probably the one we're the most comfortable with out of the group that you just named. Tommy, to your point, has been able to play all three positions, and he's fine at playing center, right, or left. He's been able to play both corners even during our time here in Chicago. But, yeah, I mean, Newt probably has the most familiarity with it.
That was Oliver Marmol last hour here on this program. Now, we have since learned from reporting from Katie Wu that the Cardinals are going to be bringing Victor Scott back from AAA Memphis. What his role is going to be, I'm going to be very interested to see. From an offensive standpoint, when he was first with the club, if we're being blunt about it, he just didn't get the job done. And in many ways, he went from not getting hits but having still competitive at-bats to it kind of getting bad for him. And towards the end of his time with the Cardinals, it didn't feel like the at-bats were overly competitive anymore. Once he went to Memphis, the offensive struggles did continue. And now, for me, I guess my next question, and we'll talk with John Mozeliak about this later on, does Victor Scott II return to the Cardinals as a guy who's going to play a lot of center field, and whatever he does with the bat, that's what he does? Or does he come up and hold a place on the roster just to be an emergency situation to have a second guy on the roster who can play center field? Because you have to have more than one guy that you feel comfortable putting in center field that you can give a start. And I'm not just talking about a guy that can go play a couple innings here or there. Somebody that if you need to give them a start that you feel comfortable with them being in that position. And that's going to be the interesting thing, because Victor Scott was playing a lot out there. He was essentially, when the season got started, he was essentially the everyday center fielder, and eventually more and more playing time went to Michael Ciani. What a weird year it's been when it comes to center field. Get to spring training, Tommy Edman's going to be the guy. Edman still isn't healthy. So the job goes to Dylan Carlson. Carlson was having a great finish to his spring. Looked like he was going to break camp as the everyday center fielder. What happens? He collides with Jordan Walker in the outfield. His shoulder goes bad for a little bit, and once he returns, he never finds the stroke that he had in spring training. Now he's no longer in the organization. So the first two guys that were going to be the everyday center fielder, neither of them are even in the organization anymore. Then the job goes to Victor Scott. In 21 games with the Cardinals, he is 5 for 59, hitting .085 with a .136 slug percentage and a .274 OPS. I mean, it's just bad numbers. Eventually, they had to send him to Memphis, where he would struggle there for a while as well. And then the job goes to Michael Ciani, and Ciani has done a really, really good job, but now he's injured as well. If you've got any thoughts on the Ciani injury and what you would like to see the Cardinals do, feel free to text into the program at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you text, or you can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. I have had some questions on what has Victor Scott done at AAA this season? Well, his overall numbers, not fantastic. A .219 hitter with a .318 slugging percentage and a .620 OPS. Now, that being said, over his last two games that obviously a tiny, tiny, tiny sample size. Over his last two games, he has four hits, so he's hitting .444 in the month of August. Text come in, says, Nootbaar's proven he can't stay healthy either. Scott's going to get some opportunities, no doubt. Yeah, this is really important right now that Lars Nootbaar absolutely stays healthy for sure. More on this coming up in just a while, but we will switch gears and we'll talk City SC. Their sporting director, Luke Fonensteel, is going to join us in just a moment. Leagues Cup continuing tonight.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going to take on Juarez over at City Park. We're back with Lutz in just a moment here on KMOX.
Swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman has the morning off. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us. It is a sports on a Sunday morning here on KMOX. Big night tonight for City SC. They continue their journey through Leagues Cup action. They are going to host Juarez. That's going to be an 8 o'clock start. You hear it on our sister station, Y98. Very happy to welcome on to the program right now. He is the sporting director for City SC. He is Lutz Fonensteel. Lutz, thank you for taking some time with us this morning. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
I am doing all right. You guys make a move that you trade away Tim Parker, who obviously has a very strong position in the history of this team, having scored the first goal. You bring in Henry Kessler. First off, from an emotional standpoint, is it tough to move on from a guy like Parker, who has been such a big part of this organization in the short time here?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, everybody said to see Tim leaving, he was great for us. As you said, you know, he scored the first goal. He scored the first goal in the playoffs. He was a leader on and off the pitch. And, you know, I can't really personally as well, but also from the club, can't really thank him enough for everything he has done for the club. But then that's also part of the professional sports business, that you have to have let people go who are brilliant. You have to let people go who are played a big part in the short history, now in this case in our club. And it was definitely very emotional for everybody.
Is it hard or is it easy for you to put the emotion to the side and just make moves based off what you think is best for the club?
No, you know, I'm not a robot. Even though I'm German, I'm still a human being. You know, in the end of the day, look, you know, you need to look at contracts, you need to look at developments and negotiations, and it was tough from the emotional part, but if you're looking at everything, I think Tim was only 6 months left on the contract, and we just simply could not find an agreement on the contract terms. Having the option to bring in Henry Kessler, which is a young centre-back who played for the United States before, which has high potential, and he has a much longer contract. It was one of the things we have to look at all the good and the bad, and the decision was made that we let Tim Parker go without taking anything away from him, what he did for the club.
Tell me a little more about centre-back Henry Kessler and what you're expecting from him.
Yeah, funny enough, when I arrived actually here in 2020, Henry Kessler was this upcoming top talent, you know, who played for New England and started to be involved with the national team. So he was on my list, the guy which I really wanted to get. And, yeah, things are not always work out that way. Now, a few years later, the option came up. Actually, surprisingly, you know, it was not something which was planned for a long time. We had a CSO meeting in Columbus at the All-Star game. We sat down with New England, and then this thing slowly developed on a very, very short term there. He's young. He's very tall. He's good in the air, but he's really, really good in building up from behind. A good football player, and his one-on-one defending is great as well. For me, also the personality. You know, he's a leader. He's a very intelligent boy, and I'm really happy that we got Henry Kessler down from Boston to St. Louis.
Some general allocation money goes in the other direction. City SC, it was reported, will retain about half of Kessler's salary. When it comes to, yeah, obviously player for player is one part of the trade, but the financial aspect of it is another part of it. How complicated can it get when you're trying to work out these deals and you do have the financials to work through as well?
Well, MLS rules can be very complicated, and it's sometimes very difficult to explain to the public how the salary cap or the allocation money, how all that works. You know, it was for us in the end of the day a long-term deal with a younger player. So the number you see is the number which is moved, but there's also some salary held back on this side and on the other side. So we believed it was a good deal for us. And, you know, it's an interesting game today because it's the first game in City Park without Tim Parker. Unfortunately, Henry Kessler cannot play that game because, same as Tim, they are cup tied. So also, Tim Parker cannot play for New England in that competition, only when MLS restarts, and the same counts here for Henry Kessler as well.
I was talking with Taylor Twellman earlier in the week, and I threw out the idea that this League's Cup opportunity is a great opportunity for the team because it's a chance to play some matches that don't impact the MLS standings, where all the new players come in and you kind of get your footing. And Taylor actually pushed back on me a little bit and said, well, League's Cup is also an opportunity for this team to kind of make the season, maybe find themselves if they can go on a run, having qualified for Champions Cup, put a real positive spin on what's been a tough season. Where do you stand on all this League's Cup? Is it the first thing where this is a chance for the team to come together, or is this a really big deal where you can make something of your season where it hasn't been a great year?
I think you're both right, and you know, the one doesn't really cut out the other one. I mean, for us, having pretty much rebuilt this summer, not because we wanted to rebuild desperately, but because we had that many injuries. We know we counted it up with 16 injuries over that season in all kind of things, from the broken rib to the broken nose to an MCL to a broken ankle. I mean, you find everything you want to find, actually. If you go to a hospital, you will find it in our injury history this year. You have years like that, touch wood, that was the only one for us, also in the years to come. And then you have not much choice to restructure the roster, especially when it comes to important positions. And That's what we did, but I do agree with you. It is important to have the players play together, train together, and not just have that training experience to gel together and find each other, but have competitive matches. But Taylor Twellman is very right as well. You know, in the end of the day, you can win silverware. Even more important, you can qualify for the Champions Cup. So, yeah, I think both of them counts in our case. I believe as many as competitive games you can get under our belt before the MLS kicks off again in the end of August, as better it is for us. But to get the new guys in and give opportunities to players who haven't really seen the pitch that much in some special moments, I think also it's very important to just have a good team momentum, have a good team chemistry. I think the Leagues Cup there is very, very good looking at it from both sides.
Is it gratifying for you when you bring in some players here and they finally get into some matches and they have success like we saw in the win against FC Dallas?
Yeah, I know. I don't. It's not about me or it's not about what I feel there. It's about the city. It's about the team. It's about the ownership and the fans. You know, I mean, when I bring in a player, obviously, I believe that he's the answer to that, what we need, or he makes us better. So bringing in two high-quality players like Marcel Hartl and Cedric Teucher to coming in first home game scoring two goals, well, yeah, it sounds a bit like a fairy tale. But on the other hand, you know, that's two players who come in with a big background. They also come with a decent amount of expectations, I would say. And for them to score, yes, it makes me happy. But on the other hand, to be honest, I do expect some goals from them in the weeks to come.
We're talking with Luch Fonenstiel from City SC, their sporting director. Every time people have talked to you about the roster, you said you're still working, you're still working, you're still working with the acquisitions of this weekend. Is the team kind of what it is, or is there still some more that could be coming down the pike?
Yeah, I know there's always some work, Matt. In the end of the day, you know, I spoke to my scouting department actually on Tuesday, and they said, well, are we done yet? Maybe you're done for 2 days, but the January window is coming soon as well, so we don't really have a break. Are we done yet for this window? I think we are not too far from that. We still have to watch out what's happening in the next few days. There could be little things maybe still be adjusted, but nothing really major. I'm pleased now once Jonas Horn arrives, hopefully by the end of the week, and obviously Henry Kessler, which is in town. I think there we had six new players coming in a summer window, which is a lot. To be honest, I like to repeat that it has a lot to do with the injuries as well. So more or less, I think I'm nearly done now.
Yeah. All right. Last question for you. You mentioned your scouting department. Your name is associated with Moves, but how important is it for you to have other people in the organization that you can lean on and you can really trust during the busy period that you had over the last month or so?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 4 eyes, 6 eyes, 8 eyes, they always see a little bit more than just two. I mean, when it comes to the scouting, it's a lot about what you see on the field. When it comes to the final decision, there is also lots of things off the field you want to really let flow in your decision. So it's very good to have people you trust, people with good knowledge. You know, I'm also sitting down about every player with the head coach as well. I think this is really important. But in the end of the day, ultimately, it has to be one person's decision. You know, so that's what I have to do in the end. But definitely, we discuss, we talk, we try to find different candidates, we're making long lists, short lists, and then we're coming up with the hopefully right solution. So definitely it's good to have people around you which look at football in the same way as you, but also sometimes it's good if they look at things in a different way because, you know, it's not that always one person is right. There is other people having a different kind of eye on certain things, and that really helps when it comes to the detail.
City SC tonight, they play a Leagues Cup match at City Park. 8 o'clock start here on Sister Station Y98. They match up against Juarez. Sporting Director Lutz Fonenstiel joining us on Sports on a Sunday morning. Lutz, thank you for the time. Hope the team comes away with another win tonight, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you so much.
All right, there's Lutz Fonenstiel joining us on the program. We'll take a break, and when we return, we are going to hear from Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. We'll get his thoughts on what he was able to pull off at the trade deadline. We'll also get his thoughts on the center field situation with Michael Ciani, evidently headed to the injured list, and Victor Scott II reportedly returning to the team. John Mozeliak joins us in just a moment. It's a Sports on a Sunday morning right here on KMOX.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
No Tom Ackerman this morning. You get me, Matt Pauly. Welcome back in. It has been an eventful few days for the Cardinals. The trade deadline, just a fantastic trade deadline for the Cardinals. Bad news yesterday with Michael Ciani suffering an oblique injury. We learned from Oliver Marmol earlier in the program that he's likely headed to the injured list. Tonight, the Cardinals try to beat the Cubs to split a four-game series. So much to talk about. And with that, let's bring in the president of baseball operations for the St. Louis Cardinals. He is John Mozeliak. John, good morning. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Hey, good morning, Matt.
Let's start with the news of the moment. As mentioned, Ali told us earlier that the oblique injury is somewhat serious for Ciani. He's going to miss at least a few weeks. It's been reported out there that Victor Scott is returning. I don't know if you can comment on that quite yet, but what's your initial reaction to a guy who has been so important for this Cardinals team being out for a little while now?
Yeah, it's a bummer. Obviously, Michael's done a really good job for us. He emerged as just an elite defender. And, you know, I think from an offensive standpoint, especially when you take a snapshot of the last 6 to 7 weeks, he's been really contributing, you know, really on both sides of the ball, which has been great to see. So it's a bummer. You know, obviously, speaking with the coaches, Ollie, post game last night, we just really felt like still prioritizing defense is something that we want to make sure we do. And so we will make that move today with putting Michael on the IL and then bringing up Victor Scott. So well, that's what we'll be looking like for the next few weeks. And, you know, hopefully we have a better read on Michael's situation over the next 48 hours. And then we'll share that with you guys as well. But, you know, clearly it's not great news, but, you know, seasons are long, lots of things happen, and hopefully we can adjust. And, you know, obviously it's going to give some other opportunities to somebody like a Newt Barr out in center field, and let's see how he handles it.
How has Victor progressed? The overall numbers at Memphis offensively haven't been great. They've been a little bit better recently, but numbers don't always tell the story. What have you seen and what have you heard from him here recently at the plate?
You know, I definitely feel like this has been a frustrating season for him. You know, last year you look at how productive he was at Double A from an offensive standpoint, and you know, you make that adjustment to Triple A. You know, there can be some ups and downs, and you know, the biggest difference typically from Double A to Triple A is just how pitchers plan and strategize. Double A, you can still see a lot more throwers versus Triple A, you see a lot more pitchers. And guys that can make pitches. I think he's just trying to, you know, figure out what's best for him, find a way to put the ball in play and use that speed.
The trade deadline across the board, everybody pretty much agrees that it was a great deadline for the Cardinals and what you were able to do to make the team better with Sean Armstrong and Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham. How pleased are you personally with the way it all worked out?
Well, you know, you go into trading deadlines, usually you're sort of in one of three camps, right? One is you're standing pat. Two, you're looking to improve your everyday club. And three, you're selling off. And so, you know, we approached it as we really wanted to try to find a way to improve our club. The one challenge was we didn't want to erode a lot of our depth at the minor leagues that we used the past couple of years to try to build back up. So, you know, we were really trying to walk a fine line. We knew we had a couple of players that were of interest, especially somebody like a Tommy Edman. And, you know, we try to utilize that resource as best we could to try to improve our club. And, you know, we certainly feel like we did that. And we feel good that we didn't have to give up any of our top minor league players to achieve that.
You and I sat down for an extended conversation in the offseason, and one of the things you said that most stuck out to me was that you don't really like making trades, largely because you've got relationships with these guys that you are sending out of the organization. With both Tommy Edman and Dylan Carlson, did those same type of emotions exist for you this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say they were a little different in the sense that, you know, Tommy's situation was he was trying to get himself back. Obviously never participated with us this year, but you know, he's a great young man. He brought a lot to our organization in a positive way. And so, yeah, it was tough. And then in Dylan's case, you know, another great young guy, fun to talk to, get to know. But reality was doing that deal is a little bit easier because I think he did want to move on. He wanted to try to get to another place where he might get more opportunity, which I certainly can understand. You know, when you think about playing careers, the windows for these guys, they're pretty small. And so when you're 23, 24, 25, not playing, that's not in your best interest. And so in Dylan's case, I think getting a new opportunity, a new organization to work with, I think he was grateful for that. So, yeah, these are decisions are never fun, especially when there really are good people. But, you know, you're trying to do what's best not only for an individual but also for the organization.
A few more minutes with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, here on KMOX. How much have you enjoyed seeing Tommy Pham's impact through his first five games with the club?
Well, obviously that first night was something that none of us will ever forget. You know, there's certain things in sport that you get to be a part of. And to watch just our fans, how they recognized him and the appreciation of him returning to this organization, I thought was like super cool. And then the fact to, you know, hit a grand slam was even better. So it's great. And I think, you know, here's a guy that, like, whatever you think about Tommy Pham, the one thing you can always say is he understands what perseverance is and he is a competitor. And so, you know, having that on our club right now, I think is going to be a real asset. And just watching him go about his business, how he does it, it's fun to see. And you know, Tommy is he's a great guy. It's been great to get to know him over the years. It's hard to imagine that, you know, he goes back when we drafted him almost 14, 15 years ago. So we've gotten to know Tommy a long time.
I know your time back with them has been limited. I asked Ali this question an hour ago. As you think back from when you first met Tommy Pham to right now, in what ways has he changed and in what ways is he still the same?
Still the same as far as competitiveness, still the same as I'm going to bet on myself. I think what has changed is he's matured. He's proven to be an 8-year major league veteran, so he knows how to go about his business. He knows what he needs to do each day. And I think for some of our younger players, just to see how he prepares, I think they have a lot to learn from him.
There was a lot made in the offseason of who was brought in, and now Tommy Pham joins Matt Carpenter and Lance Lynn and former Cardinals returning. You guys talked openly in the offseason about the clubhouse dynamics. Have you been happy with that part of this club this year?
Yeah, I definitely feel like where we were a year ago to where we are now. Now, winning helps lots of things, but I just feel like how we go about it every day, I think the mood of the clubhouse is much more positive. And, you know, from a culture standpoint, you know, you're always trying to work on that. And I think when you hear the word culture, it's a lot more complicated than just the simple word. But I do feel like, you know, players are embracing where they are right now and you know, trying to enjoy the moment and keep winning.
Sean Armstrong was fantastic last season. The numbers were not the same this year. As you and your department were looking at him, are there things that you've identified that you feel like this organization can help him get back to who he was last season?
You know, everybody likes to say they can, and, you know, we're certainly hopeful. I do think his pitch mix and how he goes about what he's choosing to do, we could obviously take advantage of, but there's no doubt 2023 was a really successful year for him. And, you know, this year hasn't gone quite as well, but, you know, hopefully Dusty and his team can get him to back to where he once was. And if so, that would be a great resource for us out of the bullpen.
Last question for you, and I'm in no way asking you to evaluate another team's trades. I just want to ask you about a team that made a bulk of trades. The Marlins pulled off a ton of trades. Doing what you do, do you look at that and just how challenging is it for a team to pull off that many trades at the deadline?
No, it's definitely takes a lot of work. you got to have a lot of faith in your systems and your processes, because when you have that many balls in the air and you're trying to figure it out how to really like monetize or optimize each deal, it does take a lot of work. So, no doubt, when you look at where that club was a year ago to what they've done now, it's a massive change. And I guess history will find out in time. We'll figure out, you know, how well it worked. But they certainly added a lot of young players to their system.
He is John Mozeliak, President of Baseball Operations for the St. Louis Cardinals. Mo, thank you so much for taking some time with us this morning.
All right, Matt. Be well.
Very good. There's John Mozeliak joining us on the program. We'll take another break and continue on in just a moment. It is a Sports on a Sunday Morning right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
No Tom Ackerman this morning. You've been stuck with me for the last couple hours. My name's Matt Pauley. We've got Cardinals baseball tonight. Sunday night baseball, they wrap up their series against the Cubs. A win tonight, and they split the four-game series. And then just a reminder for you, if you live your life off a Cardinals pocket schedule, well, that doesn't help you tomorrow because the Cardinals and Mets are going to play against each other in a game that's going to start at about 4 o'clock. That is a makeup game from one of the rainouts earlier this year. So a little bit of a bummer for the Cardinals that they got moved to Sunday Night Baseball this week, not because Sunday Night Baseball isn't awesome. It is. But because they play a afternoon game tomorrow, albeit a late afternoon game tomorrow, but an afternoon game nonetheless, and they're going to be doing that coming off traveling throughout the late in the evening tonight. Not too far of travel, probably about a, 40-45 minute flight to get from Chicago. It probably will take them more time to get from Wrigley Field to on the plane tonight than it will take for them to get from on the plane to off the plane. There is a good chance of that being the case tonight. If you are just joining us, we talked with both John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol on the program, and each individual has confirmed that it is going to be a roster move today with Michael Ciani headed to the injury list due to his oblique issue, and that Victor Scott II is going to return to the Cardinals. And you would think that Lars Nootbaar is going to start by getting the bulk of playing time in center field. At the same time, you've got Scott here. He's a young, exciting player. This is going to be one of the big challenges for Oliver Marmol here moving forward because he's going to have to juggle two things. Thing number one is putting together a lineup on an everyday basis that's going to give you the best chance to win, the best chance to score runs, so on and so forth, versus having Victor Scott on the roster, using him in a way that helps the team, specifically defensively. He is an elite defensive center fielder, and the team has gotten used to having elite defense in center field with Michael Ciani this year, all the while still giving him some opportunities so his development doesn't just stop, but also knowing when to use him and when not to use him. Also, the other side of it is trying to get Lars Nootbaar in there, but also keep him as healthy as possible. We know that Nootbaar has had a hard time staying healthy. Right now, that's the Cardinals can't afford a Nootbaar injury because then Victor Scott would essentially become the everyday center fielder. So that's just something to watch for. I'm sure we are going to revisit this conversation a fair amount of time over the next few weeks while Michael Ciani is out just watching. And, you know, when the Ciani injury first happened yesterday when I was doing the postgame show, I didn't really think that the team would call up Victor Scott. I thought they would maybe find something else or find somebody that they are more comfortable with being in center field. And I was wrong, but at the same time, I'm driving home yesterday, and one of the things I do, I'll do it today. When I'm back in my car in 20, 25 minutes or so driving home after this show, I think through the show that I just did. That's kind of my process. And yesterday, I get done with the post-game show, and I'm kind of going through my own sort of post-mortem of everything that that I said during the program, and I start saying to myself, you know what? It might be Victor Scott. I know that he struggled offensively. I know that the year this year at Memphis hasn't been the kind of year that he would like to have. I know there are some other guys in the organization that can play center field if you need them to, but if the team is going to put Lars Nootbaar out there most of the time, doesn't it make the most sense to have Scott on the roster? So if you're up by a run in the ninth inning and you want to have your best defensive group out there, that you've got him available. You know, bringing somebody else up who is not as good of a center fielder, but maybe you feel a little bit better about their offense, whoever that might be. You know, that person might not even really exist, if we're being very honest about things. But what does that really do for the club if Nootbaar is going to get the most opportunities out there? And that was the question that I was asking myself after saying what I said yesterday. And so when we got the news this morning, like when Katie Wu first reported that it is going to be Victor Scott, I was less shocked this morning than say I would have been if we would have found out that news immediately after the game yesterday. And we'll just watch and see what's going to happen. It's an important game tonight. It is an important game tonight. You want to split this series. You lost the first two games. In many ways, what was odd about this series is you got a game stolen from you, and not stolen in like a bad way there, but you should have won on Friday night, and you had a continue on in just a moment. It is a sports on a Sunday morning right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
No Tom Ackerman this morning. You've been stuck with me for the last couple hours. My name is Matt Pauly. We've got Cardinals baseball tonight. Sunday night baseball, they wrap up their series against the Cubs, a win tonight, and they split the four-game series. And then just a reminder for you, if you live your life off a Cardinals pocket schedule, well, that doesn't help you tomorrow because the Cardinals and Mets are going to play against each other in a game that's going to start at about 4 o'clock. That is a makeup game from one of the rainouts earlier this year. So a little bit of a bummer for the Cardinals that they got moved to Sunday Night Baseball this week, not because Sunday Night Baseball isn't awesome. It is. But because they play a afternoon game tomorrow, albeit a late afternoon game tomorrow, but an afternoon game nonetheless, and they're going to be doing that coming off traveling throughout the late in the evening tonight. Not too far of travel, probably about a, 40, 45 minute flight to get from Chicago. It probably will take them more time to get from Wrigley Field to on the plane tonight than it will take for them to get from on the plane to off the plane. There is a good chance of that being the case tonight. If you are just joining us, we talked with both John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol on the program, and each individual has confirmed that it is going to be a roster move today with Michael Ciani headed to the injury list due to his oblique issue, and that Victor Scott II is going to return to the Cardinals. And you would think that Lars Nootbaar is going to start by getting the bulk of playing time in center field. At the same time, you've got Scott here. He's a young, exciting player. This is going to be one of the big challenges for Oliver Marmol here moving forward because he's going to have to juggle two things. Thing number one is putting together a lineup on an everyday basis that's going to give you the best chance to win, the best chance to score runs, so on and so forth, versus having Victor Scott on the roster, using him in a way that helps the team, specifically defensively. He is an elite defensive center fielder, and the team has gotten used to having elite defense in center field with Michael Ciani this year, all the while still giving him some opportunity so his development doesn't just stop, but also knowing when to use him and when not to use him. Also, the other side of it is trying to get Lars Nootbaar in there, but also keep him as healthy as possible. We know that Nootbaar has had a hard time staying healthy. Right now, the Cardinals can't afford a Nootbaar injury because then Victor Scott would essentially become the everyday center fielder. So that's just something to watch for. I'm sure we are going to revisit this conversation a fair amount of time over the next few weeks while Michael Ciani is out just watching. And, you know, when the Ciani injury first happened yesterday when I was doing the postgame show, I didn't really think that the team would call up Victor Scott. I thought they would maybe find something else or find somebody that they are more comfortable with being in center field. And I was wrong, but at the same time, I'm driving home yesterday, and one of the things I do, I'll do it today. When I'm back in my car in 20, 25 minutes or so driving home after this show, I think through the show that I just did. That's kind of my process. And yesterday, I get done with the post-game show, and I'm kind of going through my own sort of post-mortem of everything that that I said during the program, and I start saying to myself, you know what? It might be Victor Scott. I know that he struggled offensively. I know that the year this year at Memphis hasn't been the kind of year that he would like to have. I know there are some other guys in the organization that can play center field if you need them to, but if the team is going to put Lars Nootbaar out there most of the time, doesn't it make the most sense to have Scott on the roster? So if you're up by a run in the ninth inning and you want to have your best defensive group out there, that you've got him available. You know, bringing somebody else up who is not as good of a center fielder, but maybe you feel a little bit better about their offense, whoever that might be. You know, that person might not even really exist, if we're being very honest about things. But what does that really do for the club if Nootbaar is going to get the most opportunities out there? And that was the question that I was asking myself after saying what I said yesterday. And so when we got the news this morning, like when Katie Wu first reported that it is going to be Victor Scott, I was less shocked this morning than say I would have been if we would have found out that news immediately after the game yesterday. And we'll just watch and see what's going to happen. It's an important game tonight. It is an important game tonight. You want to split this series. You lost the first two games. In many ways, what was odd about this series is you got a game stolen from you, and not stolen in like a bad way there, but you should have won on Friday night, and you had a very odd, very quirky letdown from a guy who has been maybe the best relief pitcher in baseball this season. Those things happen over 162 games. So you walk out of Friday night's loss going, they should have won that one. And then kind of more of a legit loss in the second game. Cardinals had opportunities, but just couldn't come up with that proverbial big hit, leaving a ton of guys on and getting their only three runs via three bases loaded walks. That game was frustrating because it felt like the Cubs were trying to hand it to the Cardinals, and the Cardinals weren't able to run through that wall and take it. But then yesterday, speaking of the Cubs trying to hand things to you, they do it again. The Cubs yesterday commit an error in the eighth inning, and then on that kind of bloop single thing that Nolan Arenado had just off the infield where there was a miscommunication and Pete Crow Armstrong just let that thing drop basically in front of him. That was a mistake. That was a communication error. That was a mistake. And to their credit yesterday, the Cardinals take advantage of it. They were given gifts. They took the gifts and they were able to turn it into a win. So they kind of had a game stolen from them on Friday. They steal back the game on Saturday. More of a legit loss on Friday, where I guess it was Thursday night, the Helsley loss, but you know, game one versus game three. Now here they are today, where they're going to try to find a way to win this game and find a way to split this four-game series. This game tomorrow against the Mets. This is I said this the other day. This is where fuzzy math comes in. So you go into most series with the idea to win the series. Most series in baseball are three-game series, and you feel very good about yourself if you can win two out of three. And that's generally more often than not in three-game series. One team's going to win two, and one team's going to lose one. Sweeps happen, obviously, but it's very common to win two out of three. So I would contend, and this is where the fuzzy math comes in, I would contend that the single game against the Mets tomorrow in many ways is the equivalent of a three-game series. The reason I say that is if you go into any three-game series with the idea that you want to win two out of three and take the series, it's all about winning series in baseball, what happens when you win two out of three? You gain one game. You gain one game. So, and this is specifically for the wild card race because the Mets are one of the teams that the Cardinals are chasing right now in the wild card race. If you go win this single game tomorrow, you pick up one game on the Mets, which is what you are very often looking to do in any given series. So this single game against the Mets in many ways can have the same impact as a full series. And it's just going to be a big one coming up tomorrow. From a wild card perspective, going into action today, the Cardinals are two games back of the Diamondbacks, who have the final wild card spot, and then the Cardinals are a game and a half back of the Mets, who are the top team that's not currently in playoff position. And we've talked about it when it comes to the division. Cardinals have done a nice job to knock down the Brewers' lead a little bit, but they've still got some work to do. Got work to do. Five and a half games back of the Brewers, who, if you're in the Milwaukee clubhouse and you're in the St. Louis clubhouse coming out of the trade deadline, you feel so different. If you're in the Cardinals clubhouse, you're energized. You feel like the baseball operations believes in you and believes in the team and feels like this is a group that can go on a run. And you feel good about it. You feel really good when Tommy Pham walks in the door. You feel really good when Eric Fetty walks in the door. You feel pretty good when Sean Armstrong walks through the door as well. But more so with the first two guys. Those are guys who have the ability to have a profound impact on this team. If you're in the Milwaukee clubhouse, and the Brewers didn't do nothing. They went and got Frankie Montas from the Cincinnati Reds. Montas hasn't been especially good this year. Montas does not, to me, seem like any type of game changer. Although with the injuries that the Brewers have had this year and the different guys that they've rolled out into their starting rotation, he obviously helps. He makes the Brewers better. But I don't think anybody in that clubhouse is sitting there going, wow, so Matt Arnold is their baseball head. Wow, Matt Arnold just really believes in us and really made some moves that are making us significantly and considerably better. I think it's a very different feeling. And I would argue that the feeling is much better in the Cardinal clubhouse. Now, what does that really mean? What does the feeling do for you? You got to go win games. And if the Cardinals can win enough games between now and the end of the season, maybe, just maybe, they are going to catch the Brewers. 6:10 first pitch tonight for the Cardinals against the Cubs. Joe Pott's going to have you for a pregame and postgame this evening. Our coverage is going to begin at 5:15. Thanks to Drew Young taking care of us today. He's been our producer, all of our guests on the program. This has been fun. It's been a Sports on a Sunday Morning here on KMOX.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.